Let us say a word of prayer. Father, we want to come to you this morning. By virtue of the Holy Spirit, we want you to have complete preeminence in our thoughts, in our minds, in our emotions. Lord, we need to have our ears opened in the spiritual sense that we might hear your voice, that we might know the criticalness of the hour that we are living in, that we might know the position or the place of your perception concerning us and the goal which you have given us to achieve as to where we are and what it is that we need to do in order to fix it. My God, we pray that we would be open to that administration of the Spirit this morning. Father, we want to know the will of God. We want to move under the auspices of your Spirit. We want to move under the auspices of your authority. Father, to be able to accomplish and do that which you have appointed unto us in this hour. So, Father, we commit this time unto you. We're asking that you might have preeminence in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord!
Say it like you mean it.
Praise the Lord!
Well, the devil might believe you. I don't know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It takes a certain amount of spiritual energy to make the devil afraid. Otherwise, he's just not afraid of you. Hallelujah. I trust you won't be offended, but this morning, the opening song we have, can we have the words of that song? I don't know what it was. The very first song. Hallelujah. It was the sister was up here. She brought it. Hallelujah. Because that was really the heart of God this morning. It was really something that was on the Lord's, something of what is the Lord's desire concerning us in our participation you might move it over a little bit, participation and desire for us. Praise the Lord. I think it is the travail of the Father's heart. Hallelujah. And I'm not sure if you understand the criticalness of the hour that we are living in. You had a particular format. You had a particular forum for this time of meeting. And God saw fit to change it. Hallelujah. And I'm not sure that you're aware that God changed it. Because, you know, weather and all of that, blah, blah, blah. Hallelujah. And weather is at his disposal. He can do with it what he wants. And if we're so dull and we're so set in our ways and we're in our rut to do whatever it is we have done in the past because we've got some sort of good result in regards to it, God in his mercy, God in his kindness, God in his wisdom will do whatever he has to do to change our direction.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I realize in the changing of it on a scale this big is not an easy thing. Hallelujah. It's more involved, it's more confusing, it's more expensive. Hallelujah. And all of the mechanics that go into it as far as the logistics are concerned have to be worked out in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not that God doesn't appreciate it when you begin to understand the reality of what he's asking and you begin to move to do something about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Or oh me. You can say amen or oh me, however it affects you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to be sensitive. We have to be sensitive. And if God changed the venue, hello? He even changed my venue, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I was coming for a different reason. I was coming for a different purpose. And had it been the other purpose, I probably wouldn't have come. And I have to repent because of it. Hallelujah. And we all need to repent for our lack of sensitivity in the Spirit. Because if we were hearing from God in the beginning, then it wouldn't be necessary for God to do what God did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
there is a cry that is in God's heart. My people, I long for you to worship me. Worship is not a matter of just gathering together, singing song, and praising him. Worship is a position of relationship, respect, and reverence that you have because of the fact of who and what he is. But if you don't know who he is, if you don't know what he is, then you have a tendency to be presumptuous in what you do. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not doing what we think is right, by the way. It's doing what the Father wants us to do. Hello. Hallelujah. We're so used to doing things in a certain manner, in a certain way, and we have formed habitual patterns in our position of obedience to God. Hallelujah. And we think that those patterns are going to be the same today as they were yesterday, and they will be tomorrow. The only thing that applies to is the Father. Hallelujah. And sometimes the Father's mind shifts directions. Hallelujah. I was seeking the Lord. I had this means of communicating with God as far as where I should go and how I should go and when I should go on the basis of an open door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the younger days, as the Lord would open a door, I would think, well, that is where I'm supposed to go. And off I went. Praise the Lord. One day God said to me, you need to be more sensitive. Not every door is me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I had to adjust my position. I had to adjust my thinking. I had to wait on the Lord. You know, we have a tendency to lose the waiting. Hallelujah. And we build spiritual habitual patterns. Hallelujah. And they interfere with the voice of God. Hallelujah. You don't believe it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's true. Hallelujah. Elijah was in a cave. Hallelujah. And there were many experiences that he went through. The wind, the earth shaking, and all of those fire. Hallelujah. All of those things could have been the Lord. But Elijah was standing, Elijah was waiting, Elijah was patient, and he was waiting for that quickening in the spirit. And when he heard that still, small voice, no earth shaking, no shouting, no jumping, no clapping, that still, small voice, he girded himself up, and he put his mantle over his head, and he went out to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. And he went in humility. Hallelujah. He went in fear. Hallelujah. He didn't rush out there in the middle of everything and say, here I am, God. Hallelujah. So there is a sensitivity that God wants. He says that you should worship me. If there is one thing I desire, I have sent my son to be the pattern for you. Pattern, pattern, pattern. How many of you ladies are sowers? Hallelujah. Nobody sows here. None of you ladies sow. So, make clothes. Anybody here make clothes? Oh my God. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, do you just sew something together, take a piece of material and slap it on the table and work something up? Huh? What do? You measure. You make a pattern, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, normally you would need a pattern. Hallelujah. And especially if it's something intricate or something that is different and not repetitious. Hello. Hallelujah. Well, let's go with that variety. Hallelujah. You have to have a pattern, and that pattern has to be followed, or the garment that you come out with at the end of the day isn't going to fit. Well, even a pattern, if you take measurements, you do take measurements, right? Right, right. So measurements are the pattern in which you are going to put on a piece of cloth and cut it out and put it together, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you do it without measuring?
No.
Why not? That's right. You need the specifications as to for the garment so it will fit. He's the pattern son.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Can we say that we fit? Huh? Can we say that we fit? Hallelujah. I want Prince had a vision. And it was a vision of a big wall. It was high as I could see. I looked to the right, and it was long as I could see. And I looked to the left, and it was long that way. There was no way over it. There was no way around it. But right in the middle was this golden door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was this golden door. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at this door, and I have to bend down. Hello? Because the door was about half my size. Hallelujah. The door was about half my size. And if I could get in, there was no knob on it. There was no release by which our mechanism that I could press, pull, or push that would open that door. Praise the Lord. This was something that had to be opened from the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I was looking at it, and I was saying, Lord, I know it's gold. Hallelujah. I know it's gold, so it has some representation, some connotation as being some kind of access into you. Hallelujah. Now, what would you think? Hallelujah. I want to go in that door, right? Would you not think that? Hallelujah. Because on the other side of the door, there's probably all of this stuff, this glory and effervescence and shining and righteous and liberty and freedom, authority and power. Huh? Come on. Are you still there?
Yes.
It's like they're hypnotized or something. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it wasn't until I got down on my hands and knees and began to examine that the door popped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that in itself began to give me a little concern. Hallelujah. But I'm still excited, right? I'm still excited. I'm really wanting to see what's on the other side. Hallelujah. And the door slowly opens and it swings out. Hallelujah. And I'm expecting all of this beauty of heaven. And I look down and I look in and I can't believe my eyes. It's a desert. It's a desert. And there's this little path going through the desert, and it's not straight, it's winding. And it goes down in places, and it comes up, and it winds around. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and there are dry bones. There are dry bones, some of them fresh, some of them old, hallelujah. And they're scattered along the pathway, hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't know what you would think, but my first thought was, is this really the Lord? Hallelujah. But then a voice spoke to me. Hallelujah. And as he spoke to me, a footprint appeared in the sand. Hallelujah. He said, this is the path. Walk ye therefore in it. Hallelujah. And I look in that path and I see these footprints disappear. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at it. And that I wear a self-size 12 shoe. Hallelujah. And that footprint was probably about a size 8. Hallelujah. And I knew that I had to put my foot exactly. No variance. I had to put my foot exactly in that footprint. Hallelujah. And I said, God, it's impossible. Hallelujah. I don't know. Have you ever, when I was a young boy and I was involved with different activities, and one of the things that I was involved in was hunting. Hallelujah. And I would go with these friends of my father up to their cabin in the San Andreas Mountains, and it would be very snowy. And I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, maybe a little younger than that. And there was this sister, Mrs. Ella Whitehead, hallelujah, Hallelujah. And somehow or another, she liked me, she took a kin to me, and she took me under her wing to teach her everything that she could about hunting. Hallelujah. But there was snow on the ground, and it was about half as deep as my legs were. Hallelujah. And it was very difficult for me to walk. And she turned to me and she said, "Son, you put your foot in my footprints." Hallelujah. "And you walk in my footprints." And I found out that if I did that, it was very easy for me to follow her. I wasn't struggling against the snow, and I wasn't sinking down in it. I wasn't being pushed this way or pushed that way or losing my balance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm looking at these footprints, and I said to the Lord, "It's impossible." Now, what would you think the Father would respond to you if you told him that? Hallelujah. First of all, he's showing it to me, so there must be some possibility. Hallelujah. But in the midst of it, I'm looking, and he said, "It is possible, and being made and conformed to the image of his death."
Amen.
We're talking about the patterned son. Hello? Hallelujah. I sometimes make footprints, your own footprints, in a normal stride, and then try to put your feet in it. Hallelujah. Now you might, and I mean exactly, you don't fudge out, you don't fudge in, you don't fudge over, you don't fudge back, but you exactly put your, it's almost impossible, because you're trying to do that and your balance is off. Hello? Hallelujah. Your balance is off. But nevertheless, he said, being made conformable to the image of his death. That means that I, as I step out in faith, hallelujah, believing the word of God, somehow, some way, I am going to be conformed by my tribulating circumstances in the situations of life around me if I am yielding to the pressure of change that is wanting to be worked within my character. My foot will fit that footprint.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there had been many, 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 many. Hallelujah. The bones were evidence of the many who had tried to do it before me. Hello? Hallelujah. And many did not make it, unfortunately. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me that I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I think we read that scripture last night. Hallelujah. "But I have sent my son to be the pattern for you." How many of you want to be sons of God? I want to see your hands. Hallelujah. I hope you all raise them. Praise God. You got both of them. That's double trouble. Bless you, brother. Hallelujah. You will get what you ask for. So praise God. Hallelujah. If you want to be sons, there's a criteria that you and I have to meet. Yeah, you could even stand up if you wanted to. Hallelujah. There's a criteria. It's not optional. You know, what you do out here in this arena, it's optional. Hallelujah. But once you pass this point, once you pass this point, it's no longer optional. No longer optional. It is now obligatory. Did you hear me? Obligatory. That means you have to do it. You have to conform. You have to move in accordance to what the plan and purposes are. You have to submit. Oh, bad word, isn't it? Hallelujah. We have blown that word submission all out of proportion as to species. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to submit ourselves unto Christ, unto the position of the Godhead. We talk a lot about body, but we are not yet in body, because we are not under the headship of Jesus Christ. It says, as a husband is the head of a wife, and Christ is the head of the church. That means there is a position of authority and submission to that head. Hello? I must say amen. I'm just quoting scripture. Hallelujah. I didn't write it. Hallelujah. I didn't put the inference on that aspect of the scripture. He wrote it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. He is the pattern sign for you. The you is you who have decided they want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. And we sing, the first time I heard the song about following Jesus, what is it? It's I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know where I heard that? In a meeting in our home, we had a Romanian family that had just been rescued from Romania and the persecution there. Hallelujah. The man had spent several years in jail. Hallelujah. His family was scattered. Hallelujah. 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 Have you decided that you're going to follow Jesus? Well, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to walk in his footsteps. Hallelujah. It says the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. How many of you have no place to lay your head? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, writing his letters in a prison and to the churches, says, all in Asia have forsaken me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what this man suffered? What this man gave up? What this man did with regards to that position of ministry? And these people, hallelujah, who were dear to his heart, who he knew by name, who he loved and cherished, and who he spent his life. He expended his life energy. Hallelujah. And it says they have all forsaken me. Oh man, I can imagine if it were me and I was in prison and I had that news to broadcast, I would really be down in the depths of despair. But he was not in despair because his vision was fixed. His vision was fixed with a heavenly goal. Hallelujah. It wasn't being tempered by this environment in which he lived. Hallelujah. Paul gave up all of what he was, positionally speaking, in the natural. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Hallelujah. I was lectured and tutored in the law. I was in and amongst the elite of the rabbinical priesthood. Hallelujah. There is speculation that the man might have even been looked at as being the high priest. Or at least someone who was next to the high priest, his right-hand man. They had given him letters of authority to go out and persecute these Christians. He gave all of that position. I almost forgot. Schooled under the nurture of Gamaliel. He gave it up! Did you hear it?
Yes, sir.
He was an elite educational person.
Yes, sir.
He had his master's degree.
Yes.
He had his doctorate degree.
Yes.
He had that excellent thing on the wall.
Oh, yes.
He took it and he threw it in the fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He said all of this substance, all of this natural aspect of being a human is nothing to me. I count it as dung.
Loose.
Do you count it as dung? I don't think so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the most educated people in the world. You're always seeking that next level. Always seeking that next level. Always seeking that next level. You go to school for a lifetime. Hallelujah. And schooling, okay. If you want to school, but tell me God is in it.
Amen.
Is your trust in your educational position? Is it in the position or the place of assurance that you are going to have something eternal because of it? We spend so much life, we spend so much money, we spend so much energy, we spend so much time just to throw it in the trash can. Hallelujah. If you're born again, if you're filled of the Spirit, if you have this message of sonship, God wants you to be a son. Hallelujah. What is all of this going to do if the Father is not in it? If the Father is not in it, if you're just looking for that career-orientated position of excellence, prosperity, comfort, huh? If he's not in it, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all he has to do is blow on it. It's gone. And you know something, brethren? You're living in a society that you have control over nothing. You don't have control over your electricity. You don't have control over your water. You don't have control over your weather. You don't have control over your politics. You don't have control over this. You don't have control over this. You don't have control over this. And yet you're in the midst of all of this trying to build something in a materialistic realm that will vanish at the moment of a twinkling of an eye. It just changes like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you need is a word from the Father. Hallelujah. I'm not against education. You have to learn to read, to write. Hallelujah. You have to learn to move in a logistical manner of intelligence. I'm not against that. It has to be scripturally based. You know, when the homeschool movement started in the States, hallelujah, there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of opposition from the NEA, which is the National Educational Association. Hallelujah. And they tried to stop it because the NEA is a tool of the devil. It wants the mind of your children. Hallelujah. And it makes no difference. It makes no difference who the teacher is. He could be a prevert. He could be an agnostic. He could be a heathen. Or he could be a homosexual. Hey. You think it's different in your situation? No. And your children, they go and they sit. And they open their soul. Oh, yes. They have to be good students, right? Yes. Hallelujah. How are you going to be a good student? By opening your heart to the teacher. And if that teacher's foundation is wickedness, if he's heathen, if God is not in his heart, what do you think he's given to your child? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I am to raise my children. Hallelujah. After the admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a scripture that came while we were singing that song. It's found in Deuteronomy 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 29, it says, oh, that there was such a heart in them. Hallelujah. You know, there are two segments of the church, by the way. There's Israel, and then there's Judah. The Lord breaks it up in a lot of different situations, in a lot of different circumstances. Like in Jeremiah 31:32, hallelujah. There was a covenant he made with the house of Israel, but there's a covenant that he made with the house of Judah. Hello? Which covenant is the house of Judah? It's the covenant of sonship.
Amen.
It's a covenant of that position of relationship that is personal, vibrant, and alive. Hallelujah. When you come in here and you have spent time from the Lord and your thoughts are on the position or the place of blessing Him, not you getting blessed. We come to church, I think, much of the time, and we're wanting to be blessed. You can't be blessed the way you need to be blessed unless you bless Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Unless you respect Him. Unless you have reverence for Him. Loose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I do this? This young man right here. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but I know that you belong to, or you were, Brother Isaac's, right? Hallelujah. I have a word for you. There was an article written by Bill Brinton many years ago, and it's called The Harness of the Lord. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I would suggest you go online and you get a copy of it, because a lot of what is in that article applies to you and your family. Hallelujah. There is a calling and election on your life, and it's going to be hard for you to continue to kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. Because God has an investment in you as well as your wife. Hallelujah. And as well as your children. Hallelujah. And there's a calling and election that is on your life. Hallelujah. And it's best that you understand the circumstances in the environment of what is required concerning that position when it comes to the harnessing. Hallelujah. And that article, The Harness of the Lord, speaks of a colt, a horse, a colt, hallelujah, that has been running wild and running free, kicking up its heels and jumping over fences and running through the woods and all around just having a good time. Hallelujah. Until somebody comes along and puts a rope around his neck. Hallelujah. And when that rope comes around his neck, he begins to fight it, and because it's restricting his movement, it's restricting his freedom, it's bringing him into a place he believes is captivity. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, the master draws that horse in and he brings him and he corrals him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In some respects, hallelujah, marriage and family is like a corral. Hallelujah. It confines you. It brings you into a position of confinement. And there are certain things that you have done in the past that you cannot do now. Hallelujah. And then the master comes and he wants to break that horse. Hallelujah. He has to teach that horse how to submit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Submit to the master's hand. I'm not talking about submitting to people around you, but you have to be able to discern the voice of the master in the people around you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you get the article and read it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says that they would fear me. Now look up that word fear. Can you look the word up? Hallelujah. I want you to know what fear means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in some respect, for those of us who desire sonship, hallelujah, God is corralling us. Hallelujah. God is corralling us. He's confining us by our circumstances and our situations. And adversity is happening all around us. And if we're not sensitive to that corralling and to that confinement, if we want to break loose or break out of, hallelujah, there is a retribution that comes because of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Adam and Eve only got one chance to obey. One chance. He said, I have placed this tree of life, and I have placed this tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden with you. Of the tree of life you may eat freely. You may partake. But if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hallelujah. He said, in that day, you will surely die. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now he ate it, but he didn't drop dead. Hallelujah. But, hallelujah, he died before the day of the Lord was over.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said to the man, one day is as a thousand years. Adam died somewhere between 965 to 980, somewhere in there. So in that day, he died.
Yes, sir.
And he ushered death into the world. Hallelujah. What happened? Oh, the Lord said, it's okay, Adam. That's all right. You were deceived. You didn't know better. It's all right.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What did he say? Out!
Hiya.
Let us drive them out! There was a penalty for disobedience. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And by virtue of that penalty, it set the standard, hallelujah, of judgment for any and all who want to disobey God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know it could be a hard word and blah, 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 blah. But you know something? I don't want your blood on my hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your environment is changing. Hallelujah. And it's not changing for the better. Hallelujah. And the Bible says there is great tribulation that is coming upon the world. And if that great tribulation comes on us at this moment in a twinkling of an eye, many of you will scatter like sheep without a shepherd.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Many of you will renounce your position of faith. Many of you will do whatever is necessary to preserve your position of comfort in life. There is a move in hell that we accept the mark of the beast. That is not something they stamp on your hand. That's not an implant they put in your brain. That's a mindset. A mindset and geared to the environment around us. A mindset that is rooted and grounded in comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you don't tell me you don't fear death. We're not supposed to be afraid of death, by the way. Not if we believe in mortality. Immortality. We're not supposed to be afraid of it. But we're afraid of it.
Yes.
We get some terminal sickness. But we're out there hammering on the door. Pray for me. I have this and this and this. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to the doctor. I'm having all of this treatments done. And they're doing all of these things to my body in which are destroying it. Hallelujah. For the sake of not dying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is that position? What is that place? Where is that aspect? Hallelujah. What they do in the old days when they were living in caves? Did they send out an internet message? I'm in a cave and I'm suffering. I don't have food. I am cold and shivering. I don't have clothes. Will you pray for me? Hallelujah. The Bible says they had a good report.
Yes, sir.
That means they weren't complaining.
Yes.
They were accepting their circumstance and still fighting for the position of virtue and faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Still contending with the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three Hebrew children. They knew the consequences. They were aware. They knew this man called Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm.
Do you not know that?
Yes.
They were close up there. They had watched him. They had seen him. They had been counseling with him and advising him. And they knew the man's character. They knew the wickedness and the wrath that was in him. They knew that this man had no mercy.
Mm. Mm.
when it came to a certain position, certain place. They knew, he knew, but those wise men that they were associated with were envious and jealous of that position that they held. So they devised a plan. Hello. Hallelujah. They devised a plan by which they knew those Hebrew children would not submit to. How you like that? That's what you call a stacked deck. That means you're playing cards, and there are certain cards that are marked, that you know the mark, and when they are dealt out, you deal yourself those cards so you can win. Hallelujah. However, they did not know this Hebrew God.
Amen.
This Jehovah Jireh.
Hallelujah.
They did not know this Jehovah Nissi.
Yes,
they did not know this Elohim like those Hebrew children knew the Elohim.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
Whoosh!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, they weren't disrespectful. They weren't disrespectful. He says, oh king, whether we live or whether we die, he said, we give you all of the respect that is due you, but we cannot bow to your position of preeminence. We cannot submit ourselves to the process of heathenism and reject what it is that is in our hearts. Hallelujah. Whether we live or die. Now, I want to ask you, hallelujah, do you really think they thought they were going to be delivered?
No.
They thought that it was finished.
Yes.
They thought it was finished. They had just built the fire 7 times hotter. And the people that were throwing the wood in there and the guards that were opening the door, the moment they opened the door, they were smitten. Smitten, smitten, smitten. Loose.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was a sign from heaven. It says, all bondage shall cease.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you really want to know how God looks at Israel and at Judah, I suggest you go to Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. This man, Jeremiah, he told it like it was. Hallelujah. He was not an easy man to get along with. Hallelujah. He told it like it was. Hallelujah. In spite of the threat that was upon his life. I have a lot of admiration for Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Because in some extent, he knew the consequences of what it was he was saying.
Yes.
And I suppose in some manner or another, he could have resisted the moving of the Spirit and rejected God from moving upon him the way God would move on him. Hello? But there was a willingness in his heart to be a vessel through which God could speak with purity and with honesty. Loose! So these three Hebrew children, they knew the position, the place, and they knew they were dead men. Whether we live or die, O king, we cannot bow your knee to your system. We cannot bow your knee. That idol, that statue was a representation of all that Babylon had represented. All the economics of Babylon, all the comforts of Babylon, all of the position and prestige of Babylon, all the excellence of position that one achieves in the realm of career. Oh my. We should pursue heaven the way we pursue career. We should invest in heaven the way that we invest in career.
Yes, amen.
Huh? We spend hours, thousands of dollars. Or maybe I'm mistaken. I don't know.
You are not, sir.
Hallelujah. How much of that is eternal? Eternal, brother. Eternal. Do you have a heavenly goal? Do you have a heavenly goal, or do you have a natural, career-orientated Christianity? You know what this produces out here? You know what it produces? It produces hybrids.
What?
hybrids. H-Y-B-R-E-D or I-D. I'm not sure which one it is. You know what a hybrid is? You go to an heirloom variety, that is an original variety, and you take another plant that's an heirloom variety, and you take the pollen out of it, and you take the pollen out of this, and you mix them together. They wouldn't normally mix on their own, by the way. They have to induce... inoculation. They have to induce that position of joining. Hallelujah. And the plant it produces comes out and it tastes better. It looks better. Hallelujah. It grows bigger. Hallelujah. But it will not reproduce itself. Its power of creativity has been neutralized.
Sterile.
Yes, that is exactly the word the Lord spoke to me. It's sterile.
Yes.
And you know that's what a carnal Christian is? Carnal, the word carnal is only used with regards to Christians. A heathen is a sinner. A heathen is a heathen. He's not carnal. He's totally dark, dead, heathenistic in his thinking, perverted in his mind and his philosophy. Loose! Hello? A carnal Christian is an individual who is mixing the world, his position of nationality, his position of tribalism, his position of familiar aspect of his father's house. Hello? Hello? Are you there? How many, don't hold show your head, how many of you celebrate birthdays? Now, don't show your hands. I don't want to embarrass you. Why? Why do you celebrate birthday? Recognition of self. Come on, brethren, say amen. Or say, oh me. Huh? You know, every time I would celebrate my birthday, I am undoing what Christ has done for me. I've been born again. I've been buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah. If it weren't so, you know, we all should just turn 1 year older every January 1. Hallelujah. Forget about the birthday. Hallelujah. Just 1 year older, January 1, in the natural arena. It's no big deal. Well, I am born again. Can any of you think of the date in which you were born again? Do you know the circumstances of the date of it? As to the aspect of where it was, when it was, how it was? Not all of us. Hallelujah. But we can sure remember our birthdays. Hallelujah. I had a little 2-year-old come up and say, "Daddy, it's my birthday." I said, "Well, bless you, honey. One of these days you might find a reality of birthday." Hallelujah. That was very nice and very kind, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if somebody doesn't recognize your birthday, ooh, boy, you can be in big trouble. Huh? You get depressed. You get hurt. You get to this place, oh, poor me. They don't even recognize me anymore. They're not interested in me. Nobody loves me. Hallelujah. I'm calling all those familiar spirits. My family spirits. I'm calling them. I'm calling. I was in a church here in Nigeria. I won't tell you where it was. And there was this little child that was a newborn baby, just born, couple days. And they were going to christen that baby according to that birth date. So they brought the child up. Now this is one of our churches. Huh? They have this word, by the way. Or they had it. Hallelujah. They brought this child and the parents up. The father on this side, the mother on, let's see. The father on this side, the mother on this side. Hallelujah. And then they called all the relatives that were there. Hallelujah. And there was a bunch of them. And one family lined up on the father's side. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. And the other family laid up on the mother's side. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. Hallelujah. And then they started singing a song. And I don't know, it was in an African language. Hallelujah. But what I was, and they began to jump and dance and clap their hands, and then they began to lay hands on that child, and I saw all these spirits, all these familiar spirits, all these spirits coming up and going into the child. Hallelujah. And that was one of your churches, by the way. Hallelujah. And I've been in a lot of places in Nigeria. Hallelujah. So don't go around speculating what church it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe in christening in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think it should be a time of joint, but it should be done in due order and under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. We should be rebuking the familiar spirits of the child. Yes. Hallelujah. We should rebuke them. Say, this child is no longer a child that you have possession of it from this day hence. No more shall you vex this lineage or this line that is perpetrated by the birth of this child. Loose! Do you do that? Do you do that? I don't think so. Not as a congregation, not as a church. Hallelujah. You're still traditional in your thinking. We don't want to offend anybody. And I understand that you have to move with wisdom, but you cannot move on the basis of offense that you're going to offend. You're always going to offend somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever found that you can't make everybody happy? Hallelujah. I'd rather make God happy and everybody else unhappy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We haven't even gone past the basics of it. We don't know what it means to be born again. I am born again. We sing another song. I said, did we say, I'm a new creation? Did we sing that this morning? I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I've been born again. Faster, speed it up, speed it up. Oh, yes. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Are you a brand new man, or are you still the same old fella? Hallelujah. We used to teach our children, he's changing me from glory to glory. Of God, transformed, transfigured, translated to the image of Jesus. I'm running a race, beholding his face. Are you being changed? Are you really being changed? Are you being changed? Do you look in the mirror and see that same old Nigerian person? Hallelujah. And you groom it and look it and make sure it smells good and goes out to meet the world? Hallelujah. 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 So here we are. I want to go back to Deuteronomy. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they should fear me and keep my commandment. Not sometimes, not every now and then, not periodically and spasmodically, that they would keep my commandments always. You know what the new covenant says? He says, I'm going to take it, the law, from an external position of obligation in demand And I'm going to put it into your being and write it on the tables of your heart.
Amen.
So it becomes not a law, it becomes a nature.
Oh, yes. Amen.
There's a difference between a law and nature.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's a difference between saying, I can't do that, and I won't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was brought back to God in my teenage years, hallelujah, I fell away from God when I was 12, and I wasted about, maybe 7 to 8, and maybe 9 years, I don't know. But at the end of that time, God brought me back in. And I had developed certain bad habits. Hallelujah. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I became conscious of my position of iniquity. Now, iniquity is not just a word. Iniquity is a nature.
Yes, sir.
It's a nature out of which stems all of the darkness. Hmm. Hallelujah. Of hell and all of the darkness of wickedness and perversion. Hallelujah. You know, there is a progression of darkness. You can start by not liking somebody. And it progresses to a place of you hating somebody. Hallelujah. And then when you come to the point of hating somebody, hallelujah. Of course, in all of this, there's resentment, there's bitterness, there's vengeful thoughts. Hello. It goes from the position of hate to murder. Hallelujah. Darkness is progressive. It's not stagnant. It's not stationary. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It develops and comes and moves and grows bigger and better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Darkness is not passive. And let me tell you, that darkness is not the devil. That darkness is the inner man that you were born with in the natural arena. Hallelujah. Everything about that natural birth is hell orientated. Who was it that says, I know that within me there dwelleth no good thing. Now, you don't have to pay attention to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Hallelujah. I want to read something to you. Hallelujah. Maybe that's a voice from heaven. Hallelujah. I want to, if I can get my phone open. Hallelujah. All right, I want to read. This is a dream that a young lady sent me. She's only been a Christian for about a year. But God, she got saved. She got filled with the Spirit. No, she got baptized. She got filled with the Spirit. And God is now bringing her into the prophetic realm. She's a dreamer. Hallelujah. And her dreams, I've had enough of her dreams. Hallelujah. She's prolific, by the way. To know that about 99% of them are something that is coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. So I have a great deal of respect for this young person. And you know, she's a young person. She's in her teens, late teens, I believe. Hallelujah. So here is the dream. There were many of us in a hall. Then there was this man at the podium. And he was announcing something about us having to pay reverence or bow down to something he represented. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And anyone who does not or would not would be punished, either as a death penalty or something else. I had made up my mind that I was not going to bow down to this person are saying, and if I die, I die. Hallelujah. I was happy because I thought in my heart how Jesus said, blessed are ye that are persecuted in my name. And I also thought that if I die, well, good, because I was going to see my Jesus today. Hallelujah. So when it was time to bow down, hallelujah, everyone did except me. Hallelujah. They all stared at me. Stared at me. They murmured, saying, who is this girl that she would not bow down? Does she want to die? It's a relative Christian. Hallelujah. The man at the front then called me up to ask me, why would I not bow? And at first I answered him in a proud way, saying I wouldn't bow down to anyone or anything besides the Jesus Christ. I realized that I had not answered him in a good way. Hallelujah. And I repented. Hallelujah. And asked the Lord to forgive me. The whole house turned to a ruckus and they were all shouting because of what I had said. So this man asked me, after this thing you have said, you have probably lost your faith now, right? Hallelujah. He was referring to the way I had replied in a proud way. So I answered and said, no, I have not lost my faith. It is not easy for me to lose my faith. I believe in Jesus, and as though the man also had the faith, but not of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all I remembered before I woke up. Hallelujah. You know, the man at a podium is the environment around you. Hallelujah. Whether it be school, whether it be career, whether it be prosperity or job, hallelujah, there is a demand that the system is making that you conform to that system.
Yes, sir.
Conform to that way of thinking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are living in a very critical time. Hallelujah. We are living in a very critical time and things are going to be changing very rapidly. Hallelujah. I hope that we can see the necessity of change before it happens. Hallelujah. Because if you wait until it happens, it's going to be too late. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is an objective that God has. Hallelujah. There is a position of place. Hallelujah. Let us go back to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Verse 30. Go, say to them, get unto your tents again. That means that we have to return and examine our position of relationship as it is according to this house and our own house. Hallelujah. The Bible says we should rise up early to seek him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our being. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is time for self-examination. Pure, true, unadulterated self-examination. If God puts a stamp of approval on your activity and he confirms it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, go for it. Hallelujah. But you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake not only the earth again, but he's going to shake also the heavens. That means your position of faith, your position of relationship. There are going to be tribulations and trouble that come into your life to push you to begin to doubt the reality of what it is that you say you believe. If I am smitten physically, what am I going to do? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're coming down to the point of decision making. And I hope before you go out of this place, by the time we end of these meetings, you have made the right decision. Hallelujah. And that you have been able to see the possibility of the jeopardy that you might be in because of what it is that you are not doing that is of the Father's, not of the Father's will that you are doing. God bless you.